Well, we have finished our verse-by-verse study of 1 John, and I'm going to be taking off next Sunday. Mark Friend will be here to bring the message next Sunday. I didn't want to go on a week of vacation with my wife celebrating our anniversary and have to worry about preparing to preach. I'm probably still going to teach Sunday school, and I'm preach at the mission, but just won't be teaching here on next Sunday morning from the pulpit. But as I sought the Lord concerning what I should share with you this morning from the Word of God, the week's events kind of pulled me to a topic that I thought would be good for us to consider. I don't preach a lot of topical messages, but I want to share one with you today that I think is desperately needed in the church. It was desperately needed in my own life, so I think you're just going to get the overflow of what the Lord has been burdening my heart with. Because today I want to share with you a little bit from the scripture on the topic of sacrificial love. Loving others like Christ has loved us. You see, there's really not anything easier than being a Christian in the Church of America today, is there? It's pretty simple. You just show up. You need to probably be able to say the right words. You attend the services. Maybe you participate in the programs. You enjoy the coffee. Sing the songs. Sit through the sermons. Shake a few hands and maybe give a little money. And you can be a member of the local assembly of believers in Jesus. Too often, there's not even any repentance required. You can bring your ungodly, worldly life and just be comfortable and at home. There's no commitment needed. Very little sacrifice is required beyond an hour or so of your time each week. But I'm afraid that that picture of the Christian life that I just painted is very different than the Christian life portrayed in the New Testament. Today, the call into the Christian life is just an invitation to show up and participate. But the call of the Bible, the call of Christ in the New Testament, is a call to surrender and sacrifice and service. You know my favorite New Testament character other than the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's the Apostle Paul. His conversion, I think, should be studied and become the model for the call of Christ on our lives, although we're not going to look at that today. I'm just holding up his conversion as an example. You see, the call of Paul to salvation wasn't a call to just show up and participate, was it? When he was struck down on the road to Damascus and blinded, he was taken into the city where a man named Ananias was sent by the Lord to communicate the truth to him. And Ananias was scared to death, understandably so, because this guy had a reputation of doing much harm. And the message of the Lord to Ananias was, don't worry about it, because I'm going to show this man what? How he's going to suffer for my sake. You see, his was a call to a life of sacrifice and suffering. And Brent read an example of that. Just preaching the truth, sharing the truth, got him run out of town, and it happened everywhere he went. And we said Thursday at Faith Service that he saw his life as an offering being poured out for on the service of his faith in Christ. And that's the way God's call has always been to his people. I think about the call of Moses You know the story of Moses. He was born at a time when the order from Pharaoh was that the male children be killed. His mom put him in the basket. He was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the house in the courts of Pharaoh, saw the affliction of his people. And Hebrews tells us he chose to suffer the affliction of the people of God rather than the riches of Egypt. He killed an Egyptian soldier who was beating a Hebrew and fled in fear. And where did he end up? He ended up in a place called Midian. He happened to stumble across a well where there were seven daughters watering the livestock. And he helped them. And Dad invited him to come and stay. And one of the seven caught his eye, I guess, and they gave him this woman for a wife. And you know, he was living life in luxury, basically. All he needed to eat, everything he needed was there. And God showed up in a burning bush and said, "Come on. I've got something very important for you to do." And what was his response? "No, go find somebody else." Why? Because he knew those 2 million knotheads he was going to have to lead out of Egypt. He knew it was going to require sacrifice. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. But what did he do? He finally said, "Yes." And Moses lived a life of sacrificial service. And God's call to us is no different. We are called to live sacrificially. And it's not a needless or a meaningless sacrifice, because the motivation for sacrificial living is what? It's love. It is loving people so that we are willing to sacrifice for them. In fact, it is the love of God that's the only thing powerful enough to motivate us to live sacrificially. Living sacrificially is, in essence, loving sacrificially. Let me invite you to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll bounce around to a few different verses, but I want us to read this verse to begin with in John, chapter 15. Beginning in verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you." How do you measure the greatness? How do you qualify or quantify the extent of one person's love for someone else? How do you measure that? Jesus tells us, doesn't he? He tells us that you measure it by the extent of the sacrifice that the one who loves is willing to make. Greater love has no one than what? The one that will make the greatest sacrifice. And tells us that there's a correlation between the extent of the sacrifice and the extent of the love. And laying down one's life is the ultimate sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice is the measure of the greatest love. You see, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. The smaller the sacrifice, the smaller the love. But sacrificial love is not only demonstrated in those situations where duty demands the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrificial love gives at every level up and down the scale of sacrifice. If I love with what is truly the greatest love, I won't sit around and wait for an opportunity for me to die to prove that love or lay down my life on behalf of the one whom I am loving. You see, God gives all of us a lot of opportunities to demonstrate sacrificial love that fall way short of the ultimate sacrifice, right? Every day. I will love sacrificially even when less than death demands it. So sacrificial love serves every need at any level, from small acts of kindness all the way up to and including laying down one's life for another. And Jesus was clear in this commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another, verse 12, how? Just as I have loved you. You see, this is to love like Christ loves. And has there ever been another person who has loved the way Christ loves? You see, Jesus loved people. Jesus met needs all the way up and down the scale of sacrifice. From just accepting and holding the little child on his lap to healing the sick and feeding the hungry and raising the dead, all the way up to laying down his life as a sacrifice to meet the greatest need that we had, the need for the forgiveness of our sins. No one loves like Christ. From the small needs to the greatest needs, Jesus lived and loved sacrificially. And even though his love is matchless, we are told to love how? Just like him. Just like he loves. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So it's not only to love like Jesus loves, but it is to care for others the way Jesus expects us to care for others. I read that passage of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with a towel for a scriptural call to worship, because it was so pertinent to the challenge of this message. But this humble act of Christ was done to give the examples or the disciples an example of how they were to serve one another. Jesus says, If I then, who? The Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. So let me share with you some of the biblical truth concerning this kind of love. Loving like Jesus loves, sacrificially. The first thing I want you to understand is that there is no greater evidence that God has transformed us than that we love like this, right? Who loves like that? Does an unredeemed, unregenerate, selfish world of people love like that? Never. They're never taught to love like that. They're never concerned with loving like that. They only love themselves. Well, they might love other people, but they don't love like Jesus loved, which is how we are to love. We just studied through 1 John, so I know these words will sound familiar to you, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is not the kind of love either that the world embraces. This is not the kind of love that's based on feelings or sentiment or dependent upon circumstances. This is that agape love. This is love that is selfless, that is serving and sacrificial. And it is inconsistent with the truth of the New Testament that Christians who have received God's love would be incapable of giving that kind of love to other people. And I would say that if you are incapable of loving like Jesus loves you, any of us who struggles with that needs to look at where we are in our relationship with God. You see, there's no greater evidence that God has transformed us than the reality of that we love sacrificially. And this is because there's nothing more fundamental to the Christian life. If you're still in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says this: we know love by this. This is how we know love. That He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 18 said, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, sacrificial love is the defining attribute of Christians. And we ought to be known, we should be known as a people who make no distinctions and draw no boundaries or set any limits on the extent to which we are willing to sacrifice for others. And He won't like it that I say this, but I say that's what we saw in the way Don sacrificed to love his wife. There were no boundaries, no limits. Don, thank you for being that example for us with faith. But that kind of sacrificial love ought not be the exception for the people of God. It ought to be what? It's the rule. But the third thing I would tell you about it, There is no more challenging aspect of the Christian life. We talk often around here about things that say easy and do hard, right? And that's true of this, loving sacrificially. Sometimes it says easy and does hard. Because sometimes we're like Peter. You remember him? Jesus began to explain what was going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem. And it's not so I can crawl up on the throne and take over like you think I'm going to, Peter. It's so that I can be arrested and put on trial and crucified. And what was Peter's response? Not on my watch. Lord, even if I have to die for you, I will not forsake you. I'll make that ultimate sacrifice. I'll show you how much I love you, Lord. I'll die with you and for you. Is that the way it played out? No. You say we say that we love, and we say that we will love sacrificially, but when In reality, when push comes to shove, we look at what the sacrifices require and sometimes we run in fear. And this is because sacrificial living, loving and living sacrificially requires dying, requires that we be willing to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. It requires death to self. It requires that we put the interests of others ahead of our own personal interests. And I've shared this with you often. You know, it's hard to imagine something harder than laying down one's life for another. And we've all heard of the sacrifices of the soldier who fell on the grenade and sacrificed his life to save his fellow soldiers. And we admire that kind of bravery and sacrifice. But as hard as that is, and hard as that would be to do, there's a sacrifice that's harder. And that is to, day by day, live as a selfless, humble servant to those that I say I love. It would be easier to jump on the grenade. Because once you do that, it's over. But loving sacrificially the way Jesus loves us requires that day by day, moment by moment, I live as a servant to another person. Even if it's day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I think that's a death more difficult than the ultimate sacrifice. And yet, that's what it means to love with the greatest love. It's to make the greatest sacrifice. But I think that's why we would all agree this says easy, does hard. The next thing I would tell you is that there is nothing more pleasing in the sight of God. There's nothing more pleasing in the sight of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Very quickly. Jesus isn't the only one that talked about loving the way we have been, the way He has loved us. The Apostle Paul used a little bit of different terminology, put it a little differently, but look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, you who are loved of God, and walk in love just as what? Just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us." And here's where I draw the conclusion on this point that this is always pleasing in the sight of God, because He gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That's a picture of something well-pleasing in the sight of God. These are the sacrifices with which God is well-pleased. You see, I think God takes pleasure when we sacrifice lovingly for others. And then finally, I would say this about this kind of love. There is nothing that helpless, hopeless, desperate people need more. There's nothing this lost world needs more than for us to love as Christ loved us. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. It says, "For while we were still," what? "Helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the good guys? No. Who did he die for? The ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we were hopeless, helpless, desperately needy people who were separated from God and destined for an eternity in a place called hell. And there was nothing we could do about it. We were hopelessly, helplessly lost. And while we were in that condition, Christ, the time was right, and Christ died for us. That's why I say that there is nothing that helpless, hopeless, desperately needy people need more than for the people of God who have been loved by Christ to love one another even as He has loved us. The greatest joy in life, my friends, is not found in being served. The greatest joys in life are not found in having everything we want. The greatest joy in life is not found in having someone else serve us and meet our every whim. There's a lot of wealthy, famous, powerful people who have that. And guess what? They're the most miserable people on earth. Yet so many people envy them and pursue what they have. When in reality, it can't be had. The greatest joy is found in what? Serving others sacrificially. Loving others sacrificially. You see, the most satisfied, happiest, most joyful people are those who are the redeemed of the Lord, who have learned the value of loving sacrificially and serving like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for clear and straightforward and powerful and important commands like love one another even as I have loved you. Help us to understand what that requires, what it means, and help us to find our greatest joy in living as sacrifices. As we love the way we have been loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you to bless everything that's happened here and cause it to redound to your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.